I want to take you on a little ride. Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, Father, I want ears to hear, spiritual eyes to see what your Spirit is speaking to the church today, specifically to me, in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm going to take you on a short trip, but the first verse that I want you to read is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm using the Amplified because the Lord pressed in that we needed to have the amplification. Many years back, the Holy Spirit had showed me that there was a cloud that encompassed the Lord when he left the earth. And he gave me quite a few scriptures on the cloud, and I don't want to go there right now, but I want you to see what it says in Hebrews 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily defies and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patience and endurance the steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. This word, cloud of witnesses, specifies that God chose to surround his Son by this cloud. And we could go there, but that's not the emphasis right now. What I want you to be aware of is you're never alone. What I want you to be aware of, that there are angels all around. That there's a community of saints that are sent by God to communicate when you're ready. You say, well, the Holy Spirit's available. Yes. But there are also angels available. Amen?
Amen.
There are also the communion of saints. You say, well, I shouldn't be talking to saints. I didn't ask you to. I am saying, however, that the communion of saints is the heavenly church communing with the earthly church. The heavenly church is not separate from you and me. They are united to us and will be invited to communicate as the Lord leads. You say, well, wait a minute. Where do you find that in the Word? Well, I could give you a lot of places. I could give you Jesus when he was on the Mount. Two saints showed up. Anybody know their name?
Moses and Elijah
showed up. He needed what? Counsel. He needed comfort. You say, well, he needed it. What about me? Well, what about you? I want to take you on a little ride to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. And we're talking here about a man who was having a visitation. And he needed that visitation because God had a plan for his life. A few weeks ago, there was a vision given to the house of prayer. And in that vision, there were seven chairs or thrones. They were in the front, and there were special garments on that vision. Several days later, another additional vision was given. And in that additional vision were shoes, soft shoes with embroidery. that went with the outfits. You say, well, what has that got to do with us? It might have more to do with you than you realize. You see, in Zechariah, Joshua the high priest was kind of dressed in a shabby way because he had his earthly clothes on. He needed some heavenly garments. And yesterday, I was listening to a man of God giving out the word. And when this scripture was given, I jumped. Because he mentioned the heavenly garments. So I got excited. Say, like, tell your neighbor, get excited. Yes. You've got some heavenly garments. Yes. Set in front of us. Yes. And maybe if you just choose, you might wear them eventually. The Lord is the captain of the host. And he knows what's needed for me and you. Amen? Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the guiding angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him.
Jesus.
How many have ever had some accusations? Thank you. Welcome to the club. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Did you notice he didn't go after him with ugly words? He said, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord who knows and habitually chooses Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And it's confirmed in Jude verse 9. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel of the Lord. And he spoke to the Lord. He spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said to Joshua, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel. Wow. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
Notice that he had filthy clothes. Was he really dirty? No. These were earthly clothing. But God wanted to put heavenly clothing on him. And he had a surrounding group of saints that were prepared by God to do the bidding of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 5, and I, Zechariah, said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with rich garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge or commission, then you also shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you access. I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among these who stand here.
Amen.
Does that mean that you can go up a notch? Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Where you were yesterday does not have to be your tomorrow. But you do have to do it his way. In case you forgot, he's the Lord of the host. You can say, oh, he's Lord, but I'm going to do it my way. Don't expect the new garments. Don't expect to sit in the group of these that have been chosen to rule his court. Verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your colleagues who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign or an omen or a type of what is to come. So he's talking about a future day. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Anybody know who the branch is? It's Jesus, yes. For behold, upon the stone which I have set before Joshua, upon that one stone are seven eyes or facets. The all-embracing providence of God and the sevenfold radiation of the Spirit of God. Behold, I will carve upon it its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity and guilt of this land in a single day. How did he do it? At the cross with the blood of the Lamb. The guilt, the condemnation, the fault finding, all of it went that day. Israel was set free. Did she know it? Only a remnant knew it. They happened to be called Zion. Verse 10, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, you shall invite each man his neighbor under his own vine and his own fig tree. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep and said to me, what do you see? And I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl on the top of it and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side, feeding it continuously with oil. So I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlesticks, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil. Look at your neighbor, say, a ceaseless supply does not stop. From the olive trees is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, yeah, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In parentheses, it says, of whom the oil is a symbol of. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Endless supply. For those of you who, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led and returned to the exiles of Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before it, you shall become a plain or a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone or of the new temple with loud shouts or loud shoutings of the people crying grace to it, grace, grace to it. In other words, are you getting it? So what obstacle can't be conquered through grace? There is no such thing. And sometimes you have to speak to yourself. How many like their own way? How many can be selfish and don't even realize it? And afterwards you say, oh my God, I did this. You need to speak grace to yourself. You need to speak it and you need to mean it. Okay, there are times that you're going to be checking out and you're going to be doing what you like to do. And the Holy Spirit is going to be on the job with endless supply of oil. And you will declare, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So in other words, let him manifest the next level of his revelation of you and what he wants for you and where he wants to seek you and prepare you emotionally and physically. You say, well, I'm not qualified. It's the Lord of hosts that qualifies you. It's not you. You can scrub till the cows come home. You won't be able to get the spots off. But the blood of Jesus already did it. Amen. So it's up to you and me to claim what has been given to us as a gift. There are times when you look at the cloud of witnesses that surround you and me and surround our home, and those angels are bringing a protection upon those that we love, even though they may not know him like you do. That doesn't mean that their protection isn't available to them through you. Did you hear me? Yes. Their protection, their well-being is depending on you and me. Amen. When we get the commission from the Lord, the Holy Spirit will tell you to intercede. That's what I was sharing earlier today. I had to stop all my little activity to do what God said to do because it was important. Do I know what he's going to end up doing? It's none of my business. What he does and how he does it is not my business. What he does and how he does it is up to him and it's up to the Lord. It's up to the Master to release the grace that they need and what they can receive. But you and I have a responsibility to him to obey what he commissions you and me to do. And if you get nothing else out of this message, take a good look at verse 1 of chapter 3. The guiding angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. The accuser will not lay down and make believe he doesn't exist. He's going to stand up and he's going to yell at you. And when he does, you need help. Call somebody. Call on the Lord. Speak grace to your heart. Speak healing to your emotions. Because you have been left with the ability to bind and loose. Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's up to you. It's up to you. Linda's on the job.
Yes, she is.
Okay? In case you forgot, Linda, you've got competition.
We're together.
You're together, you're in harmony, okay? I want you to put your right hand over your heart. We'll be with you in a moment. Okay. Say, Father, this work that needs to be done in my home,
in my own heart,
in my family,
it's not by might.
It's not by power. But by the Holy Spirit, it will be done. Thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.